Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 81 is once again being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So, beautiful in Lawrenceville, Georgia, once again.
It is so nice.
This is one of the reasons we live here. 61 degrees, I think. Chilly this morning, 61, no humidity, sunshine and clear skies.
It was in the 40s yesterday, right? So Saturday. We had actually opened our windows in our house, which is not me. I'm definitely not like a window, like let the fresh air kind of person in. But it was too cold in the house if you turn the air on, but it wasn't quite cool enough in the house to turn the heat on. So we decided just to open the windows, and it was beautiful because we opened windows in the front of the house and the back of the house, and you just got this natural gust kind of coming through.
Yeah,
it was so good.
The one thing like that I've noticed is since the ACs are not kicking on, that it seems to be more humid indoors.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, yeah.
So, anyway, enough about the weather and air conditioning.
Yeah. We always talk weather, though. It's part of who we are.
We do. So, I guess related to that, this weekend, which this is Sunday afternoon when we're recording this episode 81, fall festivals. You went to a fall festival in Houston?
I did, in a local or a nearby town. So I live in the town of Braselton, and a neighboring town is called Houston. They had a fall festival. It was kind of exciting. They had duck diving out there. Do you know what duck diving is?
I do.
Okay. So it was pretty cool. My dad was really excited about it. We didn't see any of the dogs run because we got there when they were taking a break. But
Was our client there, Ms. Keenan?
No, it was a specific group, Dixie Duck Divers or Dixie Dogs.
That whole
realm of like dog is not my thing. Like the agility, the duck diving, the lure chasing. There is a huge group of people that do that. And when you do it, apparently you like fall in love with it and your dogs are so mm-hmm. much better, I guess, because they have a job, their energy is worked out. And it's usually those dogs like...
It's usually working dogs.
Collies. Yeah. Some of the retrievers. We saw a lot of black and yellow Labrador retrievers. Not yesterday with the dogs. There was a mixed pit bull looking thing. But anyways, duck diving was there. It was very cool. And then there was a bunch of local restaurants, shop owners, a bunch of arts and crafts stuff. So it was very cool. And it was nice to just kind of be out and about and doing things. And it was outside, so masks were.
Now that was in the limited. That was in Houston. Did it spill over into Braselton or not? I get those two.
Not at all. They're literally like neighbors.
Yeah.
But no, it didn't. We actually left the fall festival, and then we ate dinner at a restaurant in Braselton. Okay. So it was 1.5 minutes down the road. So if that tells you how close the towns are.
Yeah. Who owns Braselton now? Kim Basinger did buy that. Like when we first moved to the area, she owned it for 5 to 8 years.
And I don't know. Someone own a town?
She did.
Is that like a real thing? You can own a town?
She did, for sure.
I'm going to Google this while we're looking.
I
feel like you brought this up before.
Yeah, we've talked about it before, but I think it, like the town was going bankrupt and she wound up selling it, but I have no idea, like if, I don't know who owns it at this point. Are you finding anything on?
So I went into Google and I said, who owns Braselton, Georgia? And Kim Basinger pops up.
Okay.
Maybe my phone is smart and it heard us talking about her. But it says, this town is stuck in the intersection of Hollywood and Dying on the Vine. So the actress Kim Basinger, who was born and raised in Georgia, bought most of the land in Braselton in 1992.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I think she bought the land. She didn't buy the city. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we'll have to check into that. But I guess I moved here in 93-ish, I think. So, yeah, that would make sense. It was kind of in the news that she had bought it.
That's crazy, though. So, apparently, she still owns it.
See, I was unaware of that. We'll check into that, though. I mean, our audience is like, they're just on the edge of their seat.
So back in the day, it says only a furniture store and a dentist office remain open in the turn of the century brick buildings. So Braselton is quite revitalized from when she purchased all of her land.
There was nothing there. It was that, I guess you said furniture store. I thought it was like a hardware store where they had tile and things. Which is where Cotton Calf and all that is now.
Yeah, it's still there. It's an antique store now. Yeah. So the one thing about Braselton is they are definitely known for their antique shops.
Yeah.
So actually next weekend, Braselton, the city of Braselton, is having an antique and art festival. So similar to the Fall Festival, but different in the sense that it will be a much more crafty group out there, and then like all the antique shops that are around there. So that old school is an antique shop. Over by Cotton Calf is an antique shop.
I guess all of the fall festivals, didn't mean to cut you off necessarily, but I was just thinking, I guess all the fall festivals are a go during COVID right now because they're outside events.
They're outside, yeah.
Does Lawrenceville have one?
Lawrenceville usually has like
a downtown around the square thing.
On the square, yeah. And they have like St. Patrick's Day, then they have their fall festival. I don't know that they call it a fall festival. But I don't know that they're all a go. Duluth has a fall festival, but right. I feel like it was canceled, but I have no idea. We can certainly look into it.
Yeah, I'm just curious. But so anyway, I guess locally that's just kind of what's going on. Fall festivals are huge here. We went to the Buford Corn Maze yesterday morning, got there at 10:15. It was packed. We got to do the hayride, the corn maze, all of the festival things that they had. So that
was really
cool.
Sounds like everyone had kind of a fall day yesterday.
Yeah.
The weather was perfect for it, as we said. So.
Yeah. And then lots of sports, lots of football, college football in full swing. Got to see Georgia lose to Alabama once again. So not surprised, but disappointed. All right. Word.
So real quick, not that I know anything about football, but coronavirus has played a big part in football and other sports and that kind of thing.
Right.
I read online a couple of different people's opinions about Nick Saban and how they thought that he was miraculously going to be able to coach right before the game. And so turns out that they were accurate. So do you feel like on your personal opinion, was there any sort of like PR?
I don't know how much money the people administering the test made to develop or to show three negative tests on him. He tested positive, supposedly asymptomatic, 4 or 5 days before the game, and he was going to coach remotely, and then they figured that they being Alabama, I guess were told that he couldn't coach remotely. And then yesterday we hear that he miraculously has three negative COVID tests as per required by the NCAA in order for him to be on the sidelines 24 hours, three tests 24 hours apart. So weird. You have one positive and then all of a sudden you can get three negative is what I think.
So you're thinking that the negative tests
are falsely reported.
That's interesting negative. Because majority of the people that I have seen their opinions, they think the opposite. They think that the positive was to get the Alabama fans riled up.
Yeah.
Like in the sense that like, oh gosh, like have all this support behind them because they're going to lose their coach. And then suddenly, like, they just have this fire burning, and then he can miraculously come back.
I just feel like he's a super smart man, an excellent coach, and it was pretty important for him to be on the sideline, and he found a way to make that happen.
Interesting.
So,
politics everywhere you turn,
yes,
huh?
Politics, politics. Speaking of, right before we did the podcast, I was watching the SNL, I guess it was Sunday, it was last night, so I never stay up that late to watch, and Jim Carrey is hilarious as Joe Biden.
Oh gosh,
he is so.
I can only imagine. I didn't watch it.
And then Alec Baldwin. Is it Alec or Alex?
There's Alec
Baldwin, who I think he used to be married to Kim Basinger.
Oh wow.
That kind of ties.
What
back
a small
in.
World.
He is an awesome Donald Trump. So.
Oh goodness, I can only imagine that for sure. So,
anyway, okay, let's move into the word of the week.
Okay.
And I feel like maybe it's been a word of the week before. Cryptorchid.
Maybe.
So, break it down.
Crypt. Dead. I'm just kidding.
I think crypt means hidden.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
And then orchid.
Flower?
it could be a flower. Or it's
are we
going
talking
to
veterinary related?
Veterinary
here?
Medical,
oh, okay,
yeah,
okay.
Latin.
I got it.
Orchitis is inflammation of the testes or testicle. So orchid is testicle.
Okay.
Male reproductive organ.
Okay. It's
organ.
It's an organ,
I guess.
Right?
Okay. We'll
a
just
gland,
we'll go
maybe?
With that. So hidden testicle, cryptorchid. What are the types of cryptorchidism that we see?
Inguinal? Is that what you're asking?
Yep.
Okay.
So inguinal, which is the inguinal ring, which most people would say your groin. A lot of people will develop, as they get older, especially if they're overweight, they will develop inguinal hernias.
Mm-hmm.
So the contents inside their abdomen will herniate through the inguinal canal. So we see testicles get hung up in the inguinal region on their way to the scrotum. Do you know the name of the muscle that attaches to the scrotum to the testicle that's supposed to pull the testicle into the scrotum?
Does it start with a P?
A G.
No, then definitely I don't.
It's called the gubernaculum.
Ugh, I actually would have known that. You should have just given me like five more.
Not G-O-O, but G-U-B-E-R, naculum.
Yes.
So... anyway, inguinal, cryptorchid, and what's the other?
Abdominal.
And so that's just where it's retained within the abdomen, typically going to be around the urinary bladder, just kind of hanging out. So the reason I bring this up is, and we're going to tie all this back into healthy pet.
Kim Basinger?
No, I'm just kidding. No, maybe. Maybe. Who's the guy on Footloose?
Bacon?
Yeah, Kevin Bacon. What's the game where everything falls back to like seven?
You're totally losing me.
There's a game that people play, a word game, and you can always tie it back to Kevin Bacon. It's kind of like Dr. Wanchick. When he talks to somebody, he will always find a connection back to West Virginia.
That's
always.
Interesting. I didn't know that this game with Kevin Bacon tying things back was like a real deal.
Like there was a movie and you know, who was in the movie and somehow within 3-4 layers, Kevin Bacon is always involved.
So can I tell you something real quick about movies? So you mentioned to me the other day that AMC and Cinemark theaters, they might
AMC's
be
about to go bankrupt.
Going
and I
bankrupt.
Guess it was Cinemark. That doesn't sound right, but one of the other major theaters is already shut down.
So interesting that I was scrolling on Facebook, as I do on Sunday mornings. But there is an ad right now that you can basically buy out the theater for $100.
The whole theater or one of the whole...
One of the entire things for $100.
Well, that's pretty cool. So we could take our staff there.
Thinking we should do that. So right now they're showing Halloween movies. So like everybody and their brothers into this Hocus Pocus and whatever. And then they have like the
Are they
the
re-showing
Conjuring.
That or did they remake that? Because I'm seeing
it's
Hocus Pocus everywhere.
It's been remade a couple of times, but I don't think it's current remade like this year. But anyways, I thought that was really cool. And I thought that was a decent way for them.
Yep.
To somewhat get it out there.
So just
but
$100.
$99. And I don't know if that means like you can fill 100 people for $100.
They're probably going to have,
or
limits,
if it's like, you know, 10 people in the theater. I don't know. So I definitely was going to look into it, but that's pretty cool.
How many seats would you say most of those theaters? 100 to 200?
At least, yeah.
You know, the bigger ones, at least a couple hundred. So they should be able to have 25% occupancy and, 50 people, I would think.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, back to cryptorchidism.
Sorry, yes.
So this is probably going to be a really long-winded story, but healthy pet, happy life. Part of keeping your pet healthy, we believe, is having them spayed or neutered.
And we've talked about that
on
this podcast before.
Yeah, we still feel like most breeds around 6 months of age to catch them before they go into the first heat cycle if they're female or before they start developing bad habits if they're male, although we would grant that some of the larger breeds of dogs, we like for them to mature and develop a little bit more, and we'll let them go 12 to 18, even to 24 months of age, as long as there's no major problems developing. Rescue groups that we work with are super, and I know we've talked about this, super keen on not adopting out a pet before it's been spayed or neutered, because we as a general population of animal lovers and healthcare providers don't want overpopulation to continue.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked a little bit about during COVID times, there may be a shortage of pets, but still that's the general thought. And so two really weird situations this past week. We saw a long-term client and their dog come in for the dog being unable to urinate. And as we began to investigate why, I think he's 9-10-year-old mixed breed pet that they adopted from a rescue group.
Mm-hmm.
And he wound up straining to urinate, as I said. He had an enlarged prostate on rectal palpation and via ultrasound. His genitalia was a little bit larger than it should have been had he been neutered at a young age. And then we wound up ultrasounding him, and we found within his abdomen what appeared to be consistent with two enlarged testicles.
Retained?
Retained in the abdomen, so abdominal cryptorchid. And so we felt like that's probably what was going on. We didn't know until we took the dog to surgery. But lo and behold, you know, we prepped him. We clipped all the hair in the area. We looked for a tattoo, which all rescue groups are going to tattoo when they spay or neuter, so that we know.
So, but
that
we don't
fixed.
Know the history about the dog, like, and maybe the owner does, but we don't know if the dog was picked up and appeared to have no testicles or scrotal appearance, and so they assume.
Right, we don't know the history, but the dog came to, you know, what other rescue group was, however it came to be, but there were no testicles in the scrotum.
Right.
And so I may have seen this before, but this was Thursday that we took the dog. His name is Harley. We took him to surgery. We found, we being me, found two testicles in the abdomen that were probably 10 times the normal size. We did this laparoscopically. And I just, you know, that's just the first time I guess I've ever diagnosed that and found two retained testicles on what should have been a neuter dog. But as we look back, well, of course, you know, that's what happened. But it was just weird,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
Because you would never know to look for
it. Takes
for
a lot of digging, right? Because there's mm-hmm. all these other things on your rollout list. Yep. You never really think of
Yeah, you
the
think,
fact
oh,
that
he's castrated, yeah. So this is not going on. And actually, when we went in, his left testicle was torsed around the spermatic cord and the blood vessels. So, and I took a picture of that. Maybe we could post that to Instagram. It's really, really cool. Not for Harley, but to see that it was twisted and torsed. So the weird, weird thing is that on Thursday, after we got out of surgery, we saw another dog in the practice that we were going to do a dental procedure on. And
well, he came in on Friday, right? Or some other day. Was it the same day?
It was the same day.
Oh, gosh.
It was the same day because we had diagnosed Harley the day before. We took Harley to surgery on Thursday.
Okay, yeah.
And then that afternoon, I'm on the phone with another owner saying, well, guess what? I think your dog has retained testicles in its abdomen. And same situation. They adopted this dog from Adopt-A-Golden, actually.
Different breed, so it's a golden retriever.
And they adopted it at a relatively young age, nothing in its scrotum. And we assume that he's been castrated. And lo and behold, you know, we think we've got the same thing. Two on the same day.
So his symptoms were a little bit different, right? And so he had actually presented for a dental procedure, correct?
Dental procedure, and we're doing our pre-ops, and we're looking back at some historical findings, and we decide to x-ray his chest and his abdomen, and we see this big fluid-filled structure in front of his urinary bladder.
Mm-hmm.
And talk to the owner. We decide we need to work this up. We do an abdominal ultrasound. We don't know what this fluid-filled structure is or where it comes from, but we feel like we see tissue consistent with testicles on the right and the left. And so we wind up the following day taking Wrigley
mm-hmm.
to surgery. And guess what we found?
I know what you found. You found one testicle.
So we found on the right side one testicle
mm-hmm.
that looked like a testicle, but looked like it had a uterine horn coming off of it versus a vas deferens.
Mm-hmm.
we found on the left side what could be a cancerous left testicle, or it could be ovarian tissue because it's right below the left kidney where the ovary typically lies. And it seems to have a uterine horn coming off of it. And both of these start going down towards the urinary bladder where they tie into what looks like the cervix. And then we see a uterine body, and then that dives through the left inguinal canal.
So interesting. And so what's then, why so, wasn't that the word of the week?
So what word?
Hermaphrodite.
Hermaphrodite. So we feel like this is weird, and then we still have this big fluid-filled structure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get it, and I dissect it down, and there's another outpop pouching coming off of it, and then there's another piece of what looks like uterine horn that dives into the right side of the prior mentioned uterine horn on the right side. So this dog had maybe a left testicle or ovary. We don't know. We sent that in for histopath. Had a right testicle, had three uterine horns, one uterine body with a cervix, and then this big fluid-filled outpouching. So, yes, Wrigley, and I didn't tell him this because he was asleep when all this happened, but Wrigley's a hermaphrodite.
But so you did have the conversation with the owner, and I do remember you, yes, kind of the owner somewhat cracking a joke about it. Like, do we still call him Wrigley?
Yeah, do we call him or her? And I said, well, let's just stick with Wrigley. That's all he knows. And we're not going to tell him any differently.
Yeah.
So, but just super weird. Like,
so you've been practicing for 27 years now. Is that right? Something like that.
A little bit longer, but
okay.
Yeah.
But so how many hermaphrodite canine or feline patients have you seen?
Maybe three or four. Dr. Williams reminded me that like a year ago, we took out two testicles in the abdomen, mm-hmm, of what appeared to be a female dog. And I didn't really remember that until she said that, but we definitely did that.
Yeah, so I have been in the veterinary space for 13 years, I guess. And this... only here. So I do remember, I feel like there was one other case here, and maybe that's the one Dr. Williams is bringing up, but this is literally, I can count them on one hand, you know, only a couple of fingers on how many times I've ever seen this.
Yeah.
And I feel like in some of the veterinary, like Facebook groups and stuff that I follow, these people are like, oh yeah, we see it all the time. I'm like, that's just crazy to me.
Yeah. It's super weird, the stuff you'll find if you go looking sometimes. So.
Yeah, for sure. But both of those dogs are recovered and doing well.
Doing well. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
So, easy fix, right?
Knock easy fix, yeah. So any news stories you want to really dive into?
So you told me earlier today that you went for a run in, mm-hmm, the local park around here. And we had lunch recently with our Henry Schein Covetrus rep. And he was talking about how he's running. So I'll ask you, did you see on the news or in any news stories, it was on Yahoo, it's been everywhere, the guy who was chased for a mile or 2 miles by a cougar?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the video story of that.
So do you remember I was running one time and I told you that I kind of came face to face with a dog, and
I think we talked about this on one of our early
literally,
podcasts.
Yeah, I like stopped in my tracks. Could you imagine? So that was like face to face. I saw the dog coming. I feel like it was fight or flight, right? And I stood, mm-hmm, stagnant. But could you imagine this cougar chasing you down from the back? And what in the hell do you do?
So,
do you keep running?
Yeah.
Do you wait for him to attack you? Like, I so just want to know what's going on with
brain. This is definitely worthy of talking about. So before we continue, so when I'm running today, I see these two ladies standing in the middle of one of the trails, and I'm approaching them. They're like, stop, stop. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? Are they talking to me? I keep running. Sir, stop. And as I get closer, they're pointing in the middle of the trail, and there's a snake.
Oh, gosh.
Crossing the trail. They were scared to death. It wasn't a poisonous snake. I think it was like a king snake or something. So I just kind of slowed down and ran around it. I'm like, it's okay. Just let him pass. But anyway, the things you'll encounter.
Of
right?
course.
So I'm glad you brought that story up, because the guy did everything right. And what... The thing you don't do, according to the article, and I would agree with, is you don't turn and run away from the cougar, because it's kind of like a pit bull.
It's kind of like anything that it's has this like prey versus predator mentality. You. Of course.
And so the runner did the right thing. He turned around and faced the cougar. It was a female cougar. And I think
protecting
it's
her young.
Speculated, yeah, that she had some young in the area. Also, had she been hungry and wanted to kill the guy, she could have probably very, very quickly.
Of course.
But he turned around. He faced the cougar. He made himself look as big as he could, you know, shoulders back, maybe arms out. He started kind of yelling some commands at the cougar. And you said he walked for like a mile?
It was, yeah, I mean, it was a long time. I forget exactly what the article said, but it was longer than I think I probably could have done it.
But she, being the cougar, just kept on just walking, walking. And he was videoing some, which I would not have done. I'm like,
oh, hell. I mean, but I guess these days, if someone finds your phone, then they know what happened to you, right?
But like, it showed some footage of the cougar, you know, whatever,
like threatening.
The growl and the,
yeah.
I don't even know what.
She, I don't know what the term is, but the video that I saw, like she would
like
also.
Like a lion, roaring, like, I guess a roar.
Yeah, but she was like prowling, yeah, you know, kinda, and then she would like spat at him.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Basically back off.
Same thing we see with cats that don't want us to touch them in the clinic.
Yes.
And
so
then
crazy.
Ultimately, I think he picked up some stones and threw them at the cougar, and I guess he had gotten far enough away from her cubs that she turned around and walked off. So, yeah, I cannot imagine that. I feel like when I lived in Arizona, I heard about a couple of those instances, people hiking. Lots of mountains right around there. Camelback Mountain would be one of them. But I feel like there was a couple of those instances as well.
Yeah, so I can't actually find anything about the distance, but I still, distance or not, maybe it was just three steps, just still three steps more than I'd want to take. But kudos to that guy. And to your point, the article does go on to say, like, if you're running and you come into an occurrence like this, it tells you some of these things to do. And as you said, reading animal behavior, wild animals, I think, are a little bit different than the domestic animals that mm-hmm. we see. But essentially, when domestic animals act that way, they're somewhat relying on their quote unquote animal instincts.
Fight or flight. Yeah.
And so I do think that those suggestions in the article do apply to both domestic animals if you're being threatened as well.
Okay. Before you sign us out, unless you have anything else to talk about, do you?
Well, no, I was just going to mention a couple of other things as we oftentimes okay. talk about like Facebook here. And you had said that we are trying to incorporate more of our healthy pet happy life. We are putting more and more stuff on Facebook, somewhat incorporating that. And so we've recently put out there the products that we recommend as far as our heartworm and flea products, our annual and blood work testing for mm-hmm. both seniors and chronic patients. So all that stuff is there. So as we talk about it a little bit here, we're hopefully putting more and more information out socially so that other people can see it as well.
Can we post the picture of the torsed abdominal cryptorchid
yeah.
testicle that we took out?
Absolutely.
Two other things from me. Thank you, Dr. Reese, for my circus peanuts as my boss's day gift.
She recognized you on boss's day?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, there was one other person did it as well. So thank you, Angel.
You're welcome.
And then sad this week that we lost to a move, not that she passed, one of our favorite patients,
of
Lily
course.
Rowland.
Yep.
They're moving to Savannah. So I hope Dr. Carla and her team can take care of them down there. But Lily is and has always been an awesome dog, and kudos to her. To her dad for always doing anything and everything that she needed and deserved. So we'll miss her.
So she's one of two Bernese Mountain Dogs that we see here.
Yeah.
It's not a breed that you see a lot of at all, but she's one of two here
yeah.
that for sure, like in this clinic specifically, maybe in our other hospitals, I don't know, but definitely an interesting breed to see, you know, kind of go.
Yeah. Those are, they're a good breed of dog. They're not without their share of problems, as most purebreds.
Of course.
Are not. But anyway, we will miss Lily. I was kind of shocked when he brought her in and said, everybody love on her and tell her goodbye because we're moving.
Yeah.
Last time you'll see her.
Yeah.
So.
So we did take some photos. That's also on Facebook of Lily and the staff. And then we did actually reach out, as you said, to Dr. Case down in Savannah, or I guess McCorvey in this instance, down in Savannah. And they are well prepared for her arrival.
They don't know what they're getting into, do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, guys, check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Make sure you follow our Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. Under the Resources tab, you can find our podcast. And please, wherever you're listening to this podcast, just hit subscribe. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys.